Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to have a chance to give a talk here. So I want to thank the conference organizers for offering me the opportunity. Today, I will talk about the Monte Carlo simulation on the one-leg DNA chains and the effect of DNA dot position and the topology simulation action. It's a continuation to Hyusung's talk yesterday. Hyusung has talked about the study on the lattice model, and today I will talk about the walls in the continuous model. This is the outline of my talk. First, I will give a general background. Then I will show you some new moves we developed for effective sampling of the one-leg DNA model. With the new move, we can investigate how the topoisomerase isomerase acts on the DNA dot position and reduce not population by selective acting on the not hook dot position. Finally, I will give a summary. For circular DNA, there's three kinds of topology entanglements include the supercoil, the knot, and the cadmium. Under the equilibrium conditions, different kind of topology has a certain probability to exist. For example, for a knot, a circular DNA with 10 kb in length, the probability to be knotted is about 2.2%. The entanglement is harmful for the normal biological function of the cell, so it should be removed in certain states. This is done by a kind of enzyme called DNA topoisomerase, which was discovered by James Wang in 1971. The DNA topoisomerase can change a knot into an unknot, or change an unknot into a knot, and similar to the cadmium. For a long time, it's widely believed that DNA topoisomerase just maintain or restore the equilibrium distribution of the topology distribution. So it's quite surprised when Cordelli reported in 1997 in Science that topoisomerase has an ability to reduce the knot and the cadmium probability to a steady state, which is well below the equilibrium value. This is the experimental result. The dashed line here is the equilibrium value of knot probability, and the symbol here is the steady state value of DNA knot probability under the action of topoisomerase together with ATP. We can see that they're much smaller than the equilibrium values. A similar case happened to the cadmium, and the cadmium and the linking number. This observation is quite unexpected, because we know that topology is a kind of global property of the 16, but the topoisomerase is much smaller than the DNA chain. Here is a picture from Ling. So the black dot here is the topoisomerase, and the line is the DNA chain. We can see that the topoisomerase is much smaller than the DNA chain. To unknot a knotted DNA, the topoisomerase has to understand if the chain is knotted or not. So it raises a very interesting question. That is, how can the topoisomerase recognize the global topology when its size is much smaller? This is similar to an ancient story, the blind man and the elephant. If the blind man can only touch a small part of an elephant, how can they know the global shape of the album? To solve the puzzle, there are a few theoretical hypotheses which are proposed to try to explain the experimental observation. So, in Cordelli's original paper in Science, Cordelli and Bologoski proposed a model, three binding site model, to explain the experimental results. However, after a few years, they discarded the original model and proposed a new model, which is called the active bending model. In this model, the top isomerase will bend a DNA segment into an airpin, and if a second segment dissolved in the airpin, then the top isomerase will act on it and let the segment to pass it. In doing this, the knot population can be reduced. They did a numerical simulation with a one-leg model with the Lizzi cylinder, and this is the numerical result. With the result, they got a knot reduction factor, which is defined as the ratio between the equilibrium and the steady state knot probability. They got a knot reduction factor equal to 10. This is quite high, but not high as the experimental results. Another model is proposed by Marco, which is called the kinetic proofreading model. In this model, they assume that two collision events are required to finish a passage event. They obtain some very elegant results. For example, they predict that the knot reduction factor and the cutting reduction factor is inverse proportional to the entangled probability. However, they also predict that for the super coils, the linking number reduction factor is a constant equal to 2, but this seems not consistent with the experiments. Another model is proposed by Rocca, three-segment interaction model. In this model is proposed based on the experimental results on the on the linking number. They assume that top isomerase will act with three segments. The above models are quite complicated in some sense, so there is a simpler model which proposed by Glowing Book and Ling Sijic, which is called the hook drop precision model. And this is a hook, and this is a free. The hook drop precision model is quite simple. It does assume that the top isomerase slightly acts on a hook rather than a free drop precision. In yesterday's talk, Hyusan has introduced some simulation results on the lattice model. The lattice model justifies that the hook dot precision can be used to reduce the entanglement. For example, this is the hook dot precision as a function of the chain length. Even for chain length that is 100 larger than the drop precision size, the knot reduction factor is about 20. All the drop precision are also tested, and the hook drop precision comes out to have the highest knot reduction factor. The lattice model also predicted a correlation between the knot reduction factor and the link of cutting reduction factor, and this is consistent with the experiments. The hook drop precision hypothesis was also tested by Stacy and Lenny with a LinkedIn fly model. They calculate the they sample the population, the conformation, and the topology consequence after the passage segment on a hook dot vision and on random dot prediction, and obtain a null reduction factor equal to 23 for the hook dot prediction. And they also shown that the local structure in random configuration or knot type have similar behavior to those in the ID knot. Random state transition between different kind of knot are also investigated as a first step to understand the action of topoisomerase. This is a work from Flamini and Stacy, and this is work from Hua and Bakis. So what's the subject of my talk today? My subject is to do the Monte Carlo simulation with a more realistic model, one like chain model, to test if the hook dot prediction hypothesis would work in this case. This point is important because according to the crystal structure of dot prediction, the length of the DNA segment interacting with the topoisomerase is just only 100 angstrom, which is smaller than the unique length in the lattice model and random fly model. It's unclear if this point will cause any error in the lattice model and the random fly model. So it's important or it's useful to test the hook dot prediction with a more realistic model. We use a one-like model. The DNA chain are represented by a lot of beads and the bones connecting the neighboring beads. And here is the potential function we use, include stretching energy and elastic bending energy and elastostatic interaction and the torsional potential. We also introduce a repulsive potential. The methodology we use is based on the precision-centric approach. In this approach, we fix the just precision in simulation and keep the knot open, free to change. And after we obtain the conformation sampling, we consider the consequence of topology change under the segment passes. According to the formula analysis, the knot reduction factor is simply equal to the flux from knot to unknot, and the flux from unknot to knot. And these two quantities are easy to be attained in simulation. The dot precision centric approach was well in the lattice model, as Hugh-san had shown yesterday. But when we extended into the continuous model, we met a problem. The point is, when we fix the dot precision here, also the total length of the 16 is a constant, but the chain length between the dot precision segment, this one and this one, should be allowed to be changed. So we have to sample both this conformation and this conformation. But this is difficult in the conventional Monte Carlo simulation if we fix the dot precision. This problem is not a problem in the lattice model, because in the lattice model we have a move called BFACF move, and this move can change the length of the chain. And with the help of the BFACF move, we can effectively sample the conformation under the constraint of dot prediction and with changing the chain length. So the fourth step in our work is to propose a new move which will effectively change the length of the DNA molecule. A second concern is the assembly efficiency. In the lattice model, the moves proposed by Mothers, Olisky, and Sack are usually adopted in the simulation. The move, we call it the Morse move, include the inversion transformation, the reflection transformation, and the interchange formation. They are all non-local, and they are very effective in simulating the conformation space. However, for the continuous model, most conventional moves are local. And due to the structural and energetic constraint, the sampling to the some certain slow process is usually a challenge. So an idea here is we want to generalize the most move from lattice model into the continuous model to increase the sampling efficiency. This is the new move we propose to change the length of the DNA molecule. It contains a T minus two transformation, which will shorten the chain by 2 bits, and a T plus two transformation, which will add 2 bits into the 16. For T minus two, we divide the chain into two parts, the blue one and the red one, and automatically overlap two sets of 4-bit prediction by minimizing the looming square distance. And then we discard the extra bits and obtain a new conformation with 2 bits shorter in chains. For the T plus two transformation, we just define the procedure as exactly the reverse of the T minus two to satisfy the requirement of detail balance. This is an example of the transformation. Compared with the T plus minus two transformation, the generalized or most move is much straightforward. The only point here is in the continuous model, we are free in change the axis and the framework of the 16, and this point can be utilized to optimize the transformation. And the formula for the generalized Morse move are briefly summarized here. The T plus minus two transformation can change the length of DNA molecule. This is quite different from most conventional moves, and they have some special property. So we first give some special property of the new move here. This is the acceptance probability as a function of different simulation parameter. And for all the parameter, the acceptance probability is very low. It's very low. It's about 1%. And for each parameter, the acceptance probability increases from zero, reach a maximum, and then decrease with further increase the parameter. And this is the population ratio between the chain length of M and M minus two. The population ratio is a constant independent of the simulation parameter. And this is consistent with the requirement of detail balance. And we also introduce an extra parameter to control this population ratio. The general Morse move are proposed to increase the sampling coefficient. So we compare the efficient of the conventional move and the generalized Morse move. Here we talk the correlation function of the bone length L, the bone theta. Sorry, this, I think it's this one. The bone angle theta and the rise, rise, as a function of, the time, for different combination of the moveset. The blue one, are data for the conventional move. And the red one, is the result, with the generalized, Morse move. We can see that, the generalized, Morse move, are much faster than the conventional move with a factor, about 5 to 7. For simple coil, DNA, the relaxation between different, brain structure are usually very slow and time consuming. So we examine the effect of the new move on the relaxation of branch number. Here is the relaxation time of branch number as a function of superhelical density sigma. The black one is the data for the conventional one, and the blue one is for the generalized Morse move, and the red one is for the T plus minus plus and minus 2 transformation. We can see that for all the sigma values, the generalized Morse move are much faster than the conventional move with about one order in attribute magnitude. And also the T plus 2 and T minus 2 transformation has a very small acceptance probability of about 1%, but the correlation time of the branch number is comparable to the conventional move. Now we come to the main topic of the talk, the not reduction factor under the dot prediction action, slightly on the dot prediction. The 16 we consider is 3.5 kb in size, and for the dot prediction we refer to the structure in reference. It contains a size of 10 nanometer, and the arc angle here is 150 degree, unless there are additional specified. First, we consider the null reduction factor of a half-foot dot precision. A half-foot dot precision contains an arc segment and a strain segment. This dot prediction is similar to what is used in Borodovsky's simulation. And this is the simulation result. For the half-foot dot prediction, the unknown population probability is quite high, it's about 94%. But after the segment passes, most unknown will still keep unknown. And the flux population change from unknown to known is very low, it's just 0.7%. And in comparison, the population changing from known to unknown is high. In fact, almost all the known will become unknown after the segment passes. So as a result, the known population will decrease by a factor of about 7.8. This value is close to what was obtained in Borodovsky's simulation, but it's not good enough for the experiments. Now we consider the this one. Because the most population are not in this case. And most are not will still become are not when we do a segment passage. So it means are not is equal to become not if we do a segment passage. So this is the so-called the position centric approach. We don't fix the not type in simulation. We allow for the hook dot position, population from are not to not is even lower, and the population from not to are not is even larger, about 10%. So we obtain a not redundancy factor as 38. This is 4 times larger than that predicted in the active bending model, and is comparable to the experimental result. With the methodology, we can investigate how the parameter, how the relativity parameter affect the non reduction factor. So we consider the non reduction factor as a function of various reproduction parameter. The first one is the distance between the centers of two segments, d. Here is the non reduction factor as a function of d for a hook and for the half hook. When the distance d increases, the non reduction factor decreases, but this effect is small. When the distance increases to 20 nanometer, this is quite large, and the non reduction factor is still larger than 30. The second parameter is the arc angle alpha of the segment. For the both hook and half hook the positions, the not reduction factor increase rapidly with alpha value. And for the hook the position, when the arc angle changes from 150 to 180, the not reduction factor almost double, change increase from about 40 to 80. And in fact, the curve can be well described by a single explanatory law. And this is the a linear fit to the logarithmic data. A third parameter is the orientation angle theta of the crossing between two segments. Theta is important for the chirality preference of the precision topoisomerase axon. This is the not reduction factor as function of theta. We can see that the data are asymmetric. The other parameter include two theta. T angle, beta and gamma. Beta is the location of one arc inside the plane, and gamma is the T of the arc plane. Here are the simulation results. We can see that if beta and gamma deviate from the standard orientation, and then the non reduction factor will decrease. It's interesting to ask if a larger drop position will have a better not reduction factor. So we consider the not reduction factor as a function of the drop position size and keep all the other parameters as constant. We can see that for small drop position size, Yes, the non-reduction factor will increase if we have a larger transposition. But when it reaches a critical value about 30 nanometer, then the non-reduction factor will decrease, which further increase the transposition size. To have a systematic understanding on how the topoisomerase action depends on the transposition parameter, the combination of parameter, we have a two-dimensional scan on the alpha and theta plane, and here is the not reduction factor in the alpha and theta plane for the hook transposition. You can see that for most regions, the not reduction factor is very low. The high RK value appear in this region with high alpha value and small theta value. And the result will be more clear if we use a logarithmic scale. We also do a two-dimensional scan on the alpha d plane and the d theta plane, and the results are here. And we can see that the combination of parameters are useful or are important to obtain a high not reduction factor. The last result is about the effect of symmetry operation. Hewson briefly mentioned the importance of the symmetry operation. The idea is like this. For hook transposition, if we do a passive segment, it becomes a free transposition. So if the distance between two segments are very small, then the population sampling before and after the passage should be equal. It means the population from all the flux from not to unknown for a hook should be equal to the flux from unknown to not for a free transposition. We test this point with the one lag model, and the data are shown here. The blue one are the data for the hook transposition, and the red one are for the free. And the open symbol here are the population changing from not to unknown, and the solid are for unknown to not. You can see that the open data of the hook are connected to the solid data of the free. And we have they can describe by unified curve. And we have similar result for the half hook and for the strain transposition. Now we come to the summary. In our work, we developed a new move that can effectively change the length of the chains. And we also generalized the MOS move from lattice model into the continuous model, which will increase the sampling efficiency in the one lag in the continuous model. And we also saw that the hook transposition can be used to obtain can be used to reduce the knot population by topoisomerase action. High knot reduction factor of 50 can obtain even when the transposition is very small, it's 10 nanometer. And we also saw that the arc angle is the most important transposition parameter that can control the knot reduction factor. Part of the work about the new move have being published in Journal Chemical Physics. And in the future, we'll investigate the topoisomerase effect on the catenin and supercoil to test if the fluid that the Bayesian hypothesis will work and provide a unified understanding. And this is the building of College of Chemistry in Peking University, and my office is here. And this is the Olympic table tennis dimension. It's located in the Peking University campus. And I want to thank some collaborators, include Hugh-Sang Cheng in University of Toronto and Lin Xinji in Baylor College of Medicine, and Jennifer Meng in University of Texas, Austin. And I also thank Jamie Katniss for the discussion, helpful discussion about the transfusion science. Thank you very much.
For the graph where you had the knot rejection factor versus juxtaposition size, was that for what length of chain was that for, or what length of polygon was that for? Was it for a set of lengths, or was it...
This one, we use seven lengths. No, the total length is constant, but we just change the length of the producer.
So what do you think will happen if you change the length of the
with the total one? We have not done that kind of work yet because. Yeah, we test different the effect of the total length.
So although you have a chiral preference in your angle, you still shouldn't see any difference between left and right-handed knots. Did you look at the difference to see if they're the same?
Which one?
Yes, if you count the numbers for left-handed trefoils and right-handed trefoils, I think they should be identical.
Do you mean the knot type?
Yes.
Now we did not consider the difference between different kind of knot. We just distinguish the knot long and knot.
Yeah. So you didn't look at the chirality of the knot?
No. But
a good control test maybe.
Yeah. It should have a global distribution, yeah.
So that was still going to this chirality of a junction.
Yeah.
Now, have you? Because I thought you were having it here. I see that the symmetry is broken here, and. And I was expecting you would not see yet a broken symmetry because you would have generation of left-handed and right-handed knots by random if you would sample a random population, you would have the equal amount of right-handed and left-handed knots. Therefore, I would not yet expect a broken symmetry. If you would ask the question, what happens if you use let's say left-handed trefoil, then you would see a symmetry to be broken. That's
the left hand of the and the right hand.
Yes.
Of yeah. Yes. To maintain a steady state, we need both left hand and right hand. My point here is the the effect depends on the value of theta. Theta for example was 90 degrees are different from 80 degrees. So that's the point. For example, if we have an angle of not equal to 90 degrees, for example, for 80 degrees, then the left hand and the right hand will have different effect because they have different propensity. And the resulting effect will have some chirality effect.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.